wisdom is not just possessing factual knowledge. It's not just having a number of degrees behind one's name, but really is the proper and effective application of truth to everyday life. And how we all need to be able to do that. To rightly apply wisdom's truth to daily living. Now, Solomon certainly encouraged this acquisition when he wrote, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Some 900 years later, the first century BC, the Roman philosopher Cicero stated that wisdom is the best gift of the gods, the mother of all good things, which tells us wisdom is the highest and most noble and most valuable of all possessions. Now, obviously, we have been describing God's wisdom, which Job succinctly captures in the following statement. Job 28, verse 28, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Which tells us again, true wisdom is not just a matter of how much we know, but how much we trust, we love, and we obey God's word. Now, switching gears, we must acknowledge that there is a wisdom out there, maybe I should say a philosophy of living, that is totally opposite and really diametrically opposed to Christ, of whom Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is the wisdom of God, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. And it's called human wisdom. And it is this wisdom devoid of God that I want us to examine this morning. Now in our text from James chapter 3, we see a picture of God's wisdom in verses 13, 17, and 18. And then we see a portrait of human wisdom in verses 14 through 16. In surveying God's wisdom, we really find two main points. In verse 13, we find the test of God's wisdom. This test starts by asking a question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That is the question on the test. In other words, who among you is wise and understanding? And then the end of the verse, verse 13, gives us the answer. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. By the way, that's our memory verse for this month of February. And in this statement, we have two parts to the answer of the question, who is wise and understanding? We first of all in the answer have the actions of wisdom, and then we have the attitude of wisdom. And the actions of God's wisdom, we show our good conversation, we show our manner of living by living out righteous deeds. We live an exemplary and beautiful life. And then the attitude of wisdom that must accompany these wise deeds is meekness and humility, which is simply saying wisdom is demonstrated by rightly handling life's issues with a meek and a quiet spirit. It's not enough just to do good deeds, it's the heart attitude behind how we live out these good deeds. And so to pass the test of wisdom, to demonstrate that God's wisdom is being lived out in us, by good actions and with a humble attitude, we live life. Our good works are graced with humility, which means we then score an A on the test of wisdom. How many of you like to get A's? Our good works are graced with humility. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And then point two under God's wisdom, we find the traits of wisdom. We find the test of wisdom in verse 13. We have the traits of wisdom in verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. When we are being God-wise, when we are picturing God's wisdom, when we are living out God's wisdom, righteousness will mark our living. I think of Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 5 that really picture this wisdom being lived out. And he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now for the bulk of this study, I want us to focus on the portrait of human wisdom. And as we said, it's found in verses 14 through 16. Verse 14, "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Point number one is the heart of wisdom. And we find the heart of wisdom in verse 14. "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth." In the heart of man, controlled by human wisdom, there are two main sinful motivations. And the first motive is bitter envy or jealousy. Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about people measuring themselves with others, comparing themselves with others. And he says this is not a wise thing to do. Now, we do it all the time if we're not careful. We compare what we're wearing to what someone else is wearing. We'll compare how we maybe play an instrument compared to how others play maybe the same instrument. When you play ball, when you're going to school, the human tendency is to compare yourself with others. The consequence of that is you'll always find someone that can do something what? Better than you can. If you're into looks, you'll always find someone that's more handsome or more beautiful than you are. And when we focus who we are with someone else, sooner or later we're going to start having what in our hearts? Envy and jealousy. Now, the problem is if we don't nip that envy, that jealousy in the bud, it's going to grow. And it's going to grow to a point where it becomes bitter envy and jealousy. Is that not true? Amen. That is so true. Ladies and gentlemen, that's human wisdom. James uses the word bitter envy. By the way, if you really think about it, every envy is bitter. Every form or degree of envy has a bitterness towards it. When you see someone that's better than you, are you really happy about it if you're living according to human wisdom? No, you have that tinge of bitterness in your heart toward that person. The Greek word for bitter has the meaning of something sharp, pointed, prickly, pungent. It was used of bitter water coming out of a fountain. How many of you, when you go to a drinking fountain, like to taste or drink bitter water? I mean, we want something that refreshes us. We want something that nourishes us. We want something that satisfies our thirst. Here it is used metaphorically to describe the worst sort of jealousy. It is an envious heart which is harsh, sharp, and cutting and has no concern for the feeling slash welfare of those who are its objects. And so those whose lives are based on and they are motivated by human wisdom inevitably live very raw self-centered lives. Their personal ideas, their standards, their desires are the measure of everything. Their personal ideas are the measure of everything, which means whatever and whoever serves their needs, their ends are considered good and acceptable. However, those who threaten their ends are considered bad and are harshly rejected. Human wisdom goes through life and says, how can this person, how can that person help me? How can they get me to where I want to go? And if that person is no longer useful, then that person is discarded. That is human wisdom. And ladies and gentlemen, we see it everywhere, don't we? It's everywhere. Now, the second sinful motive that is found in the heart of the man controlled by human wisdom is strife. Envy leads to strife. The Greek used here connotes, it marks, it suggests contentiousness, quarreling, extreme selfishness. The idea is whatever is done is strictly for personal gratification and self-fulfillment. There is no room for others. It's the ultimate in self-elevation. You can say it this way, human wisdom is all about me. It's all about me. Which means it's the antithesis of what the child of God is to be. That's humble, selfless, giving, loving, and obedient. That's God's wisdom. How opposite how man thinks versus how God thinks. And the person with such a heart, the person that's motivated by man's wisdom, is bitter. There's jealousy in his heart. There's envy in his heart. You know, we try to gloss it over, but it really sooner or later comes out. And then there's strife. There's friction. You know, when you're around a person that's full of himself, there's always some friction. It's not easy to be around a person who's full of himself. Sometimes we have to live with those people. It's not easy. And what do we need? God's grace. By the way, we all, to some degree or another, are full of ourselves. That's why we need Jesus. Because only He can make us kind and forgiving and patient. You know, we're bad apart from Jesus. And yet how much of life we live without Him. When we're full of ourselves, human wisdom always elevates self. We become inevitably proud. We see here, he glories in himself. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, don't boast. There is self-glorying with the result such a heart lives against the truth. It lives against everything God says is right and honorable and decent. A heart motivated and characterized by selfish ambition, bitter jealousy, is living a lie. Whatever godliness he might claim, he is lying, for his life stands against the truth. He stands against God's wisdom. We see that today. And so here, in verse 14, is the heart of human wisdom. It's a heart full of self. It demands my rights. Human wisdom is always focused on my rights. God's wisdom is always focused on my responsibilities. One of the great problems with society today is everyone is claiming their rights. Ladies and gentlemen, don't claim your rights, because if you really take it to where it ultimately should be, you'll be in hell. That's the only right we have. We're sinners. And sinners deserve what? The wages of sin. And that's death. So don't focus on your rights, because it's not going to take you to where you want to be. You focus on your responsibilities. But that's what human wisdom does. It demands my rights. And understand, such a heart, the heart of anything, and when we talk about the heart, we're talking about what is reality. Solomon says, "For out of the heart flow the issues of life." It's the springs of life. And so, to wrap up point number one, I say guard your heart, keep your heart from being controlled, motivated by human wisdom, which deifies yourself. Anytime you enthrone yourself to where God is to be, and then you dethrone God, you're in trouble. And so, we come now to the source of human wisdom. We've noticed the heart of human wisdom. Notice verse 15. "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." This human wisdom does not come from heaven. It does not come from above, but finds its root, its source, its cause, its origin in, number one, the world. It's earthly. It is of the world. Earthly wisdom is restricted to the things that man can theorize, discover, accomplish by himself, with God having no place. And we see this everywhere. We see in education where God is being thrust out of the classroom. He has no place in the classroom. We see it in politics. You know, maybe you could talk about God, but sooner or later, you're going to be in someone's bullseye. Economics. This earthly wisdom touches every aspect and dimension of human life and leaves it godless and thus in ruins. Then the second source of human wisdom is the flesh, meaning this wisdom comes from the fallen heart of man. The fallen heart of man is wholly corrupt. It's separated from God. James has just described this corruption, this separation from God in the heart of wisdom. "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth." Paul said in Romans chapter 7, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." I mean, how can anything good originate in something that's no good? And that's where human wisdom comes. Now, this wisdom originates in the natural man who does not accept the things of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot therefore understand them, because they have to be spiritually discerned. They have to be spiritually understood. But if you don't have the Spirit of God, if you've rejected God, if you've rejected His ways, then how can you understand the wisdom of God? A fleshly heart is therefore devoid of the influence and the discriminating ways of the Spirit of God. And then the third source of human wisdom is Satan himself, who has always promised wisdom to those he tempts. And he asserts, as he did in his temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden, that God's word should be doubted and his word accepted. Remember what Satan said to Eve in Genesis 3. He said, "This archdemon said that if you do what I say, not only will you not die, but you shall become like God, knowing good and evil." And thus was born the lie that man can be his own God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get in the flesh, when you begin to be controlled by human wisdom, you'll become your own God. You'll worship at your own throne. Now, Paul addresses this demonic influence in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means as the Satan beguiled Eve through his subtleties, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." How many people today are being deceived by people preaching another gospel? Verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Paul warned Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." One author writes, "The wisdom from below is nothing more than the foolishness of demons, appealing to man's natural fallenness and sinful inclination to arrogant self-interest. This wisdom deceives them into believing Satan's lies rather than God's truth. What they believe is to be their own wisdom is really the devil's." And so again, the source of human wisdom is the three great enemies of the believer: the world, the flesh, the devil. That's where human wisdom originates. Which brings us now to our last point, the outcome of human wisdom. The outcome, the results. Verse 16, "For where envying and strife is," in other words, where the motives of human wisdom are, bitter envy, strife, pride, here's the outcome, there is confusion in every evil work. Now let's look first at the word confusion. The Greek used here means disorder, disarray, even rebellion or anarchy. James 1 describes this disorder. He says, "A double-minded man is unstable." It's the same Greek word used there for confusion. Unstable, confusion in all his ways. James 3:8, "But the tongue can no man tame, it is unruly." Same Greek word as confusion, full of deadly poison. Now please understand, God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace. When God's wisdom is in play, there's orderliness. There's decency. Now, please understand, God is not, again, God is not the author of confusion. And so where there is confusion, where there is unruliness, where there is unstableness, and not harmony, not unity, not love, human wisdom is in charge. It's present. It's in control. And what we see are conflicts. We see eventually wars. We see crimes. With human wisdom, the outcome is, again, confusion, which leads to total disorder. And the ultimate devastation. If God, in His mercy, left man to totally his own devices, He would have long ago destroyed society. There would be no human beings on this earth. The only reason there's any civility in this world is because of God's mercy and grace. Human wisdom taken to its end is total annihilation and destruction. When man is left to himself, personally, you understand this, when man is left to himself, he sooner or later destroys himself. How they abuse themselves. But human wisdom, left to itself, will bring not only civil destruction, but personal destruction as well. And then every evil work. The Greek used here for evil means, in its better sense, worthlessness. But in its worst sense, it means vile and contemptible. R.C. Trench, noted theologian, comments that this word for evil contemplates evil, not from the aspect of its active or passive malignity, but rather from its good-for-nothingness, the utter impossibility of any true gain ever coming forth from it. Remember, Paul said, in my flesh dwells what? No good thing. Again, the point is absolutely nothing of ultimate good, no good work, good deed, good event, no good occurrence, no good affair results from human wisdom. And yet how many Christians have bought the lie that human wisdom, passed on by professors and classmates and colleagues and friends and spouses, is where it's at. What my pastor says, what my parents have told me, well, they are behind the times. The culture today has moved on. It's refined. It's enlightened. It does not discriminate. And that is where I want to find my basis for making life's choices. Let me say this lovingly and kindly. The world and its fleshly and satanic anti-Bible, anti-Christ ways are passing away. And in the process of passing away, they are destroying those that they are touching. As Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7 of Matthew, when you build your life on human wisdom, you're building it on sand. And sooner or later, that house will what? Will fall. But he that doeth the will of God, God's wisdom abideth forever. And so I challenge you to forsake the wisdom of this world, its heart of bitter envy and strife, its source, the world, the flesh, the devil, its outcome, confusion, disorder, every evil work, and turn to the wisdom that comes from God, that produces peace, loving, humble, righteous people. As I told you last Sunday, to gain a heart of wisdom, we need help. Can't get there on your own. Specifically, we need four helps. Help number one comes to us when we're regularly, daily, reading God's Word. Specifically, we are reading from the book of wisdom, Proverbs, which teaches us how to be skillful in life. I said last week, don't leave home without God's wisdom. If you want help to live a wise life, you've got to be daily in the Word. It's better than another 5-10 minutes of sleep. Help number two comes to us when we seek the counsel of wise men. We hear and heed the wisdom of the truly wise. If you say, well, I don't know where they are, ask the Lord. He'll show you. He'll point out wise men, wise ladies. Seek their counsel. Help number three comes to us when we choose wisely and carefully our friends. Oh, the influence that people have on others. I mean, your friends have such an influence on what you say and do. Choose your friends wisely. You can have acquaintances, but your friends should be seeking God's wisdom as well. And then help number four comes to us when we learn what God is trying to teach us through life's reproofs. Do you know what I'm talking about? You get up in the morning and your car doesn't start. You get on the road and you play bumper cars. That's not a good thing to do. You get to work and maybe your computer crashes. And I'm just throwing things out here. Maybe you wake up and you don't feel well. And I'm not saying always those are God's reproofs, but oftentimes they can be. What does Hebrews 12:11 tell us? Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, it afterward yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those who are exercised thereby. When you see a negative in your day, maybe you see a trial in your day, rather than complain, rather than murmurs, look up and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but perhaps you're trying to tell me something. Perhaps you're trying to teach me something. Talk to me. I'm listening. I need to hear. Tell me what I need to know. That is wisdom. Such helps will always steer you from human wisdom to true wisdom that can only come from God. I say, might your life not be a portrait of human wisdom, but a beautiful picture of heavenly wisdom. I love what Solomon said in Proverbs 19:8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Wow. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. What a blessing you will then be to everyone around you. Your spouse will thank you for getting wisdom. Your children will thank God for parents who have wisdom. Your church and pastors will thank God for members who are wise.